Hey, Bub, I keep telling you, don't call me Wolvie! Snicked.
Previously on X-Men.
What's the matter? Teacher's pet got cold feet. Anytime, pretty boy.
Cyclops!
And welcome to episode 81 of Tooncast Beyond, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am one of your hosts, DFG and Mike. Joining me once again is Eduardo for our final journey into the X universe.
If this was Transformers, I would quote Simon Furman and say it never ends.
Kind of does. I mean, there was a graduation day, so. Hey, at least I won't be making any Jubilee Twilight references this time around, or maybe I will, who knows?
No, you won't. No, you won't.
Oh, God. Jubilee and Twilight Sparkle, I can just see it now. Making vampires sparkle all over Ponyville.
Nope.
We're gonna get
apologize.
To... Nope. We're going to get We're going to get to Optimus Solo and Just the Facts. We'll be back after this.
Hey gang, it's Optimus Solo and I'm here to give you Just the Facts on X-Men the Animated Series. X-Men the Animated Series is an American animated television series which debuted in 1992 and ran to 1997, lasting 5 seasons and airing 76 episodes. It aired on the Fox network as part of its Fox Kids Saturday morning lineup. This was Marvel Comics' second attempt at an animated X-Men TV series, following the pilot X-Men Pride of the X-Men, which was not picked up. Saban Entertainment was contracted to produce the show and hired a small studio, Graz Entertainment, to produce the episodes as it did not have the sufficient staff at the time to handle production in-house. Graz employed the creative staff, wrote and designed each episode, and even drew the storyboards. The voice work was done using Canadian studios, and the animation was done by the South Korean studio, Acom. The plot was loosely adapted from famous storylines and events in the X-Men comics, such as the Dark Phoenix Saga, Days of Future Past, the Phalanx Covenant, and the Legacy Virus. The show features a team lineup similar to that of the early 1990s X-Men comic books. The lineup largely resembles that of Cyclops' Blue Team, established in the early issues of the second X-Men comic series. The series' first 13 episodes were notable for being possibly the first time ever that an American animated series had a full season of episodes flow one into the next, i.e. a continuity-based show, something the series' producers fought heavily for. However, starting with season 3, most episodes were shown in random order. Each episode was assigned 2 different numbers internally. One is for script order, which indicates the number assigned by the production company. The other is the production order, which are the official episode numbers assigned by Fox Children's Network, indicating the order that they actually received the episodes from the production company. These both vary from the order in which the series actually aired, especially after season 3. So we have 3 different sets of orders in which these episodes could be organized. According to series writer Stephen Melching, the script order is the best guide in terms of overall series continuity, as this is how the stories were originally envisioned to flow together. The X-Men animated show was the longest-running Marvel Comics animated series for 18 years. It lasted 6 years during its 5-season run, which was the record until it was eventually beaten by The Ultimate Spider-Man when its 77th episode aired on October 17, 2015. So from 96 all the way until 2015, X-Men was the longest-running Marvel Comics animated series. The series, though, was canceled after the episode Graduation Day, which aired on September 20th, 1997. And now for some Toon trivia. The Acolytes, a group of mutants who are led by Magneto and reside on Asteroid M, are never referred to by name in the series, because broadcast standards and practices forbade the writers not to call them by that name in the dialogue. Also, since this is the final season of X-Men, interesting to note some of the acclaim the series got. In 2009, IGN ranked X-Men as the 13th greatest animated show of all time in their top 100 animated series list, the third highest standing for a comic book adapted show on the list. The show also ranks in at number 152 on IMDb's highest rated TV shows with at least 5,000 votes. Today's episode specifically focuses on Season 5. Season 5 includes two two-parters, The Phalanx Covenant and Stormfront. Season 5 lasted 14 episodes in total and aired from September 7th, 1996 to September 20th, 1997. Interesting to note that Beyond Good and Evil was meant to be the ending to the series until Fox decided to buy more episodes at the very last minute. As such, the final six episodes produced have a different animation style. To save money, Saban produced the final episodes of the series in-house, rather than involving Graz Entertainment, who it had outsourced production of the series to until that point, and hired instead a studio in the Philippines simply called the Philippine Animation Studio, which also worked on the second season of the 1994 Fantastic Four series, because the animation studio ACOM, the company that had done the previous four seasons, was unavailable due to other projects in the pipeline. No Mutant is an Island, a Deal with the Devil, and Longshot episodes were originally part of Season 3. However, due to animation problems, as we stated before, they were held back. This case for 2 years, and consequently, Jean Grey's resurrection was not properly explained as it should have been. Instead, we get that here in Season 5. So that's just the facts for today, and now let's toss it over to TFG1 Mike and Company as they discuss in detail the final season of X-Men the animated series.
All right, folks, we are back. Thank you so much, Optimus Solo, for those just the facts. As last time around, where we were able to use the new hit acclaim, amazing, you know, word of God book called Previously on X-Men by Eric Liewald, we're going to be using that to talk about the episodes, the final episodes for X-Men the animated series 1992. Season 5 starts with the Phalanx Covenant, parts 1 and 2.
Yep. Phalanx Covenant, which introduced, first of all, once again, it's like taking a comic book storyline and doing the animated version. And hey, introducing Warlock. Uh-huh. Warlock from the New Mutants. I was glad to see him. I like Warlock. He's like Jar Jar if Jar Jar wasn't an annoying piece of shit.
I don't know who's more annoying, Jar Jar or Boss Nass.
Jar Jar.
Really? Jar Jar,
definitely. Yeah.
I don't know. Boss.
At the very least, Boss Nass was voiced by Brian Blessed. Okay, and Brian Blessed is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm willing to give it a pass. Like, it's one of those things, if I saw Brian Blessed at a con, I'd be like, you know what? I don't blame you for Boss Nass, man. You had to do a paycheck. You did your job. It's not you, man.
Yeah.
It's not you. I forgive you. I forgive you, man. It's,
yeah.
You're not... I do not blame you.
Yeah.
But, and then, after... Mm-hmm. The episode after, I mean, we have, you know, yeah, we have the Phalanx Covenant. Mm-hmm. But then my, you know, then and then afterwards, once again, my my geekdom was very happy. The two-parter Stormfront.
Yeah.
Which Archon is a guy that he's another one of these characters that a couple of times he's shown up as the villain, a couple of times he's shown up as more of an ally to the heroes, but oh man, just you know, having him show up, I'm like, oh wow, cool, they're using Archon. So I'm like, wow, nice. Okay, cool, we got Archon. I'm happy now. And hey, I think that's also lifted from the comics, where I think, yeah, he did bring Storm over, and it's like, hey, can you, you know, use your powers, do this. And then I think we get into, and then yeah, we get into the final five, don't we?
Yeah.
Like the final six. We get it's weird because these episodes, they were the ones that had like a change in animation company.
Yeah, because they changed. Shows, yeah, they changed from, I think it was Acom to something else. I could be completely wrong with that. We go on to 71 here, The Fifth Horseman. Eric in the book says, again, looking back, the late last season change in design of the series bothers me, as does the change of all things in the opening titles for the last 10 or so episodes of the run. I know networks like to quote-unquote refresh and quote-unquote update series after a while, but why mess with one of the real highlights of a hit? Oh well. The story itself is not at all bad, bringing Beast and Jubilee into a South American jungle, complete with ancient temples and hints of human sacrifice. Very Indiana Jones feeling. Having a cult wanting to release Apocalypse from his bonds is properly creepy, and they're needing to capture a sacrificial quote-unquote vessel to do it, which becomes Jubilee. So, yeah. Poor Jubilee, she doesn't really... doesn't really get at all a good happy ending.
Yeah, well, she avoided becoming a vessel of Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's interesting that kind of that these were supposed to be the end,
yeah,
like the ending episodes, because it ends on, I don't want to say a cliffhanger, but it's like it ends for a great setup because Apocalypse is back. After what happened in Beyond Good and Evil. So you're like, so it sets up that if you want to do it, you could do a rematch. But that just, it never comes to pass. We never have the big rematch, which, has me going, okay, I kind of wonder if anybody ever thought, should we revisit and have like Apocalypse, kind of be like, oh, X-Men, I've kind of owe you a kind of whoop ass for what happened at the end of time.
Yes.
Apologies to John Colicos.
That was a almost interesting impersonation of Apocalypse. And then we get Jubilee's fairy tale theater.
Yeah, that was... it's... again, this is one of the things about being a comic fan. Because this was kind of the animated series... doing an old X-Men issue that was actually called Kitty Pryde's Fairy Tale.
Mm.
The same kind of basic idea, which was that in the case of the comics, it was Kitty Pryde making up a fairy tale and telling it to Colossus's little sister, Ileana. But in this case, it's Jubilee and just some random kids. But same thing, just kind of doing this goofy, fairy tale parody featuring the X-Men characters. Gotta say, though, the comic book version is kind of poignant because this was at the time when Jean Grey was thought dead because of Dark Phoenix Saga.
Yeah.
So you have, like, sort of a reinterpretation of the Dark Phoenix thing for the fairy tale with a much happier ending. So
right.
It kind of makes me feel like when these books came out and people were reading it, were they kind of did it kind of hit in the feels area a bit? Because it's like, finding we kind of wish that this happened. Interesting thing that I don't know if you're aware of. Later on in the comics, they revealed that the world that Kitty Pryde's fairy tale takes place in is actually a real world in the Marvel multiverse.
Oh, cool.
That it actually does exist out there. I'm trying to remember. See, I had this written down somewhere. I would have to find the folder where I kept that information. Looking at, thanks to the Marvel handbooks, the Marvel handbooks did have, the most recent ones, did have a list of, like, worlds in the Marvel multiverse. And yeah, Jubilee's fairy tale is Earth 961116.
Oh Lord.
So yeah, that's it. And by the way, while we're on the subject, I mean, if you wanna, if in case you really wanted to know, Let's see. Okay, Cable's future. From the animated series, that is Earth 121193. Xavier, the world that was created by Xavier getting killed in One Man's Worth.
Right.
That is Earth 95099.
Is there an Earth 90210, please? Thank you.
You know what? I would have to go to my handbook library shelf in my bedroom and find out.
We don't have that much time.
Yeah. Okay. The X-Men cartoon, by the way, like the main 90s cartoon, the one we're talking about, the main timeline is Earth 92131.
Oh, cool.
So yeah. So just in case you have a machine and you need to program in which Earth, there you go. I just helped you out there. I just helped you and everybody else out. So Sweet. If you wanted, those are the Earths. You can go visit them. Wouldn't recommend the one where Xavier was killed in the 1950s because then you'll probably get Sentinels and all that stuff.
Yeah, and Master Mold and everything else.
Never fun visiting a crap sack world.
Nope. Episode 73 is by far the best so far of season 5, Old Soldiers, written by Len Wein. Here is what Eric says in the book. Yes. Despite the hit-and-miss nature of the final dozen episodes, this story is one of the ones that makes me grateful we got to go past the usual 65-episode order. We were allowed to use an icon from comics history, Captain America, created by Joe Simon and Jack Kirby in 1941, and we got to tell a very personal Wolverine story written by his co-creator, Len Wein. Please see Len's thoughts on the episode in his interview. So the other thing about previously on X-Men, folks... Eric Liewald did interviews with almost everybody dealing with the series, from the cast to the writers to just everybody, and that's all in this book. I mean, if you're an X-Men 92 fan like we are, and obviously Eduardo already has the book, I still have to get the book myself, but for $40 on Jacobs Brown Store, the official website of, the publisher thing here, like, $40 for this book, that's a damn deal to me. Like, the making, previously on X-Men, the making of an animated series by Eric Liewald. Like, an insider's look at the landmark worldwide hit. Like, we have never had this. Like, we always guessed. We always just assumed. We always did this. We always did that. But Old Soldiers, I love this episode.
Oh, yeah. No, and I gotta give kudos. I gotta give kudos to Eric and everybody behind the scenes that they were able to get, like, the ability to use Cap.
Yeah, absolutely.
This just because this just feels like one of these things that it's like, just throw a Hail Mary, and be like, oh man, I hope we get this, because I could just as easily, in this world with rights issues and this goes to this and this goes to that. I could just as easily see a scenario where they just go, nope, you don't get Cap. We want to do stuff with Captain America, and so we don't want him in X-Men, so no, you can't use him. And just, them having to be like, shit, we can't do this episode then. But yeah, the fact that they were able to do this, I'm just like, wow, that's cool. I mean, that is an accomplishment, and it... Not only that, but not only were they able to get him, but just the way that they used him, it's like just across the win across the board. Just solid winning.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Huh? Absolutely. I love it. It's an amazing Wolverine story with Captain America as kind of like the guest star in it.
Mm-hmm. And kicking some ass, too.
Absolutely. And it's got Red Skull and everything else. And just absolutely love it. And it shows Wolverine, before he was an X-Man, before all this character development and growth that they had him do in his story arcs from season 1 to season 4. This is before all of that. This is, I mean, this was before his... Weapon X lies in this was before his they had to actually get him the claws that weren't those claws were just He's like, oh, these are pretty useful. And I'm like, yeah. Sure they are, Wolverine. Absolutely they are. So, yeah. Absolutely love old soldiers. Any thoughts on Hidden Agendas or Descent? Those are 74 and 75.
Well, Hidden Agendas... it was cool seeing Cannonball. I mean, I know they had Cannonball kind of in a little cameo on screen in the very first episode, but it was cool seeing him actually, you know, an actual part of the show. Not the best introduction in the world. I will kind of give kudos though to the fact that they did a nice little nod to his origin in the comics, which kind of involved a little bit of the same thing. You know, including getting under the influence of a villain. You know, it's not the best, but I mean, I don't know. It's like I don't hate it, but on the other hand, it's like not one of the best. You know, I mean, it's one of these things where if you only gave me like a handful of episodes that I could show somebody to kind of like. Show them how cool the X-Men cartoon was, this would not be one of them.
Yeah.
You know, Descent, interesting. I mean, it was an interesting idea and taking off, a great takeoff from a comic book called The Further Adventures of Cyclops and Phoenix, which was like Scott and Jean Grey. Kind of doing some time travel thanks to the group that Cable is associated with, the Clan Ascani. Like in there it was Cyclops and Jean Grey going back in time, but the fact that, you know, we don't have the time travel, instead it's just, oh, you know, we're going to we're just going to have this kind of flashback tale. You know, not a bad idea.
Interesting. It's something we had been asking when we did it season two specifically with the introduction of Mr. Sinister and Till Death Do Us Part. Like, we had been wanting, like, what is his, like, I even asked you, why does he have this fascination with Scott and Jean and genetics and all that? Like, Descent is the episode that gives Mr. Sinister's origin. Like, I didn't think they... Again, I hadn't seen this in forever until we started doing these. Like, I had not watched these. I had not watched season 5 at least in 17. Like, last time I saw it was like 2000, 2001. So, you know, finally, you know, we get why Sinister, at least in this universe, at least in this cartoon series, is the way he is. And that is what makes that episode really cool. And then the series finale, graduation day. Nobody's graduating. Not really.
Yeah.
Xavier dies. Sorry, folks. 25 years of spoilers right there.
No. I mean, okay, let's be fair. He doesn't die, but he does have to take kind of a vacay off Earth. Yeah. You know, his alien girlfriend is like, oh, you know, my poor Charles, you know, you've been so, you know. One thing, again, it's interesting that it takes something from the comics and, you know, adapts it to TV. In this case, yeah, there was a point in the 80s where Xavier was dying. Lalandra showed up and is like, okay, I'm going to take my boyfriend here and, I'm going to take him out into space. She actually shows up with Corsair, you know, Xavier hangs out with the Starjammers for at least years. Like, I don't know how long he did it for comic time, but I know that at least in real time it was years. It was like from 85, 86 to 90 something that he was just not on Earth. He was stuck with the Starjammers. Like, I think that was even a plot point that, you know, he had been healed and they're like, okay, let's get you home. And shit, the Stargates are way too heavily guarded. We can't do it. You're kind of stuck here. And Xavier's just like, okay, well, you know, that sucks. But, you know, my students are big boys and girls. I think they can handle things by themselves. I'm just going to have to, you know, I'm just going to have to chill here till we can figure something out.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I've always wondered though, because like with the Apocalypse episode, mm-hmm. you know, like the one with you know, with Jubilee and Beast and Apoc, you know, like the Fifth Horseman episode, you know, Fifth Horseman.
Right.
I just always wondered, like, you know, this ends on kind of a not a cliffhanger, but it has such an open ending. Were there ever any thoughts of like, oh, are we gonna, you know? Was somebody, you know, if not Eric, was Larry Houston or somebody else or Will Menziud, was somebody thinking, oh, we'll come back and, you know, we'll bring Xavier back and do this and that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always wondered, I mean, was this something that somebody had in the back of their head, or was it simply just supposed to always end with, okay, Xavier's gone, but, you know, his students will keep up the good fight, so to speak?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this to me I think you'll like this, at least I hope.
Okay,
this to me is similar to the end of Beast Machines. It's it's similar in the fact, okay, yes, Professor X is the one that's dying and he says goodbye to Magneto. It's not where in Beast Machines it's Optimus Primal and Megatron going off and being away for, like, but basically the end of Beast Machines in I can't remember the episode title off the top of my head, but in the end of that, after Cybertron is reformatted into a techno-organic planet, you have Cheetor as I've said this for years now. If you look at Beast Wars and Beast Machines, it is the consistent evolution and aging of the character of Cheetor. Cheetor is essentially the Hot Rod Rodimus Prime of the Beast Wars, Beast Machines era. By in this, I mean he grows up through the series, because there's a point where he goes Transmetal 2. And there's a point that he does that he goes Transmetal 1 and Transmetal 2 after his original body. So I did this whole thing about where I think each age progression is for each of his changes. And by the time we get to Beast Machines, I would say he's mid-20s, early 30s. Like, he's a full-grown adult bot at that point. And at the end, it's basically Optimus and Megatron going off, and Optimus is like, you know, you lead them, Cheetor. You know, he's Optimus Primal is basically passing the torch, you know, and that's what this essentially is. Because Eric says at the end of this, he says, "As Lalandra takes Charles flashing across space, we see those who loved him watching, their hearts going with him on his final voyage. What will happen in a world without Professor Charles Xavier? As our series ends, we are all left to wonder." Like,
yeah.
Oh my God. Like, yeah, what would it be like? Like, everything that he taught all of his team, all of his X-Men in these 5 years, obviously those are, you know, that's all going to stick with them, but are they going to continue the fight? Are they going to continue his dream of, you know, having mutants and humans, you know, live together in harmony? And all of that,
I think to be actually a little, well, not darker, but a little bit more serious. It's not, you know, will they continue his fight? It's not that. It's will they succeed?
Yeah,
because I mean, it's one thing having a great public speaker like Charles Xavier stand before a bunch of protesters and rioters and going, you know, can't we all just get along? It's quite another if it's Scott doing it, or, you know, Wolverine doing it, or Jean doing it, or even Hank.
I mean, I could see Beast or Jean, maybe not Beast, because, and I'm not putting any prejudicial thing in this, but they showed that in the series of how Beast looks, you know. But maybe Jean. I mean, we're so advanced of a race at this point where women, I mean, look at last year and this year. Women are I'm not just saying women are everywhere, but like in media, like, look at the Wonder Woman movie, okay? All women worked on that thing. Like, it wasn't like all women producers and yada 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 with a male director. No, all women worked on the Wonder Woman film that was recently, you know, out. You know, so, like, I mean, yeah, I could see Jean leading the X-Men. I could see, you know, basically, Jean would take Professor X's role, Scott can still have his blue team, Storm can have the gold team, and Wolverine can just run around and, you know, berserk whatever the hell he wants to berserk.
Well, because, you know, Wolverine, of course, he said it in that, in the first episode.
He said it in the first season, yep.
I go where I want to go.
Yep.
Yeah. So why are you coming with us? Because I want to come with you. Are you sure? You're going to 7-Eleven, right? I want a slushie.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
No one gets between me and my slushies, bub. Schnick.
Schnick. Talking briefly about, since we've wrapped up season 5, briefly before we close this and do all the other stuff that we have to do here. The filmography was chapter 15, the 76 episodes, which is what we've kind of gone through here for season 5 and what we did for, you know, 2 weeks ago for season 4. After that, the literary quotes of Beast, our resident philosopher. Chapter 17 is talks with the cast. 18 is talks with the crew. 19 is talks with the writers. 20 is talks with the executives. 21 is the television critic remembers. 22 is fan testimonials. And then there's an epilogue. Like, you and I will probably be back with a full-on discussion of after we, you know, fully read the book. So,
and by the way, I just have to say, the picture that they have for George Buzza, the voice of Beast, he looks a lot like Sheriff Hopper in Stranger Things.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Like I even actually took a picture of that. I tweeted that. I tagged Eric and Julia's Twitter, and they liked it. So I mean, I guess they saw the same thing I did. Because I just took one look and I'm like, Sheriff Hopper? But hey, nice to have something to do. Nice to have something to do other than get chased by Demogorgons in the Upside Down.
All right.
You need to watch Stranger Things, dude.
Yeah, I know. I
need to.
I know. It's got horror elements, and I'm not too big on horror, so I don't know.
Yeah, but it's also like a lot of '80s stuff. Like it's a love letter to the '80s without going too far. And the soundtrack is fucking badass. Like seriously, awesome soundtrack.
Very cool. Very cool. All right, so season 5, going through our thing here about how the season held up. The season did keep my interest, but as I said 2 weeks ago, I was kind of already satisfied with the ending of Beyond Good and Evil. Like we already said so far, we liked Old Soldiers, we liked Descent, because we finally get a Mr. Sinister thing. The Phalanx Covenant was interesting. I thought that was really cool. A really cool story. Thoughts on keeping interest for this season?
Yeah. You know what? I will say this. I'm looking at it. Okay. I'm gonna do it from two perspectives. One from younger me, another from me now. Younger me, the whole thing with having like another season, I did not know about Beyond Good and Evil being the end. I did not know. The new animation kind of weirded me out for a minute, but you know, there were some nice little things in the, you know, in the season that I'm like, okay, yeah, that was cool. Being a huge Captain America fan, I love Old Soldiers.
Yeah.
You know, the season, it's kind of like, you know what, I think the great analogy is it's the dessert buffet.
Yeah. All right,
you've already had the big meal. You're satisfied. They say, "Oh, there's a dessert buffet." You're like, "No, I'm full." But then you're going, "You know what? Maybe I'll try like a little something. Maybe I'll find like a little chocolate tart or a brownie or something. And, yeah. you know, you grab a couple of things. A couple of things are, you know, a couple of the things you grab, a couple of them are yummy. And a couple you're just like, you know, like you're starting to feel full. And you're just like, I can't, you know, like, right. I want to enjoy this. I can't. yeah. So, you know, it's the kind of, it's like that, you know,
it's very much a pick and choose.
Yeah.
It's kind of like choose your own adventure kind of thing.
Admit it though. You read those as a kid and you cheated.
I don't even I remember reading them as a kid, but I don't remember if I cheated or not. Like you're, that was you know, so long ago.
Okay, yeah.
I remember reading the Berenstain. Like my reading history goes from whatever early like childhood fairy tale, like the little golden book, like the golden books, to the Berenstain Bears, to the Hardy Boys Case Files, to John Grisham. I mean, John Grisham, R.L. Stine. Wow. all that kind of like R.L. Stine, Fear Street, not Goosebumps, because that I love R.L. Stine. I love his Fear Street stuff, but Goosebumps is just not my thing.
That's fine.
You know, but like, yeah, no. Like, I remember reading Choose Your Own Adventure, but I don't ever, like, I don't remember anything of, like, no.
Yeah, no. My formative years were definitely Choose Your Own Adventure. Like, mm-hmm. I from age 7 or 8 to about, like, 11 or 12, I was all about Choose Your Own Adventure. I actually went to a used a local used bookstore, and I found a copy of the very first Choose Your Own Adventure. I bought it. It's actually I'm looking at it right as we're speaking. I'm looking at it on my shelf, and I'm just like, yep, that takes me back. And yeah, I got to admit, I try to be good and I try to like follow the rules, but you know, a couple of times I'm just like, you know what? Let me, I'm not too sure. Let me check. Okay, I don't want to go there. So yeah, let's go to this page. Of course, sometimes it would bite me in the ass because neither choice was really good, and I'm like, okay, damn it. All right, this is what I get for trying to cheat. This is what I get for trying to peek into the future.
Yep. You're not supposed to exist outside of time, dude.
Yeah. I don't know. Hey, you never know. You never know. Because remember, I said it in the season 4 write up. You know, you have Kang the Conqueror who has like at least one or two alternate, you know, like future selves. You never know, man. You know, maybe one day I'll end up, you know, somewhere outside the time stream in limbo, and somebody will be like, "Hey, you want to watch over time for 2,000 years of it?" And I'm like, "Sure." Then I'll just I'll indulge by popping into the 1930s, grabbing a copy of Action Comics number 1, and just being like, "Wow, these new 4-color funnies look really good." Oh, but you know, it'll probably won't make much money, and then just jump ahead to like 1990 and be like, "Oh, I have this mint copy of Action Comics number 1. I can't believe I found it."
It's so you're talking about the 1938 debut of Superman, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it's so funny you bring that up.
Uh-oh.
Oh, this is good.
Okay.
So I'm currently preparing and reading for the Pullbags Return for episodes 155 to 159 of the Pullbag, our comic podcast.
Right.
We're going to be covering volumes 1 through 3 of IDW's Back to the Future. We're going to be covering Back to the Future Citizen Brown and Back to the Future Biff to the Future. Okay. Oof. No, it's good. It's very good. Like okay. I've read the first two volumes already, and oh my god, like super fit because it's got John Barber on writing, but it's got Bob Gale. Like Bob Gale is there, like he is helping out. So no, this isn't just IDW trying to do a. This is them faithfully taking these characters and telling stories that are around the movies and everything else and whole continuities. But basically the reason why I'm saying this is at one point Doc Brown went back to the time when that was published and he bought like a million copies of it because he needed money. He needed liquid money and he needed it. So if he needed money, he would just sell one of his various copies. You know, he bought like all the copies he could find at the time. And that's how he would get money in the future and whatever. So hilarious.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, absolutely awesome. So this is our last, so this is our last episode for X-Men the Animated Series, because it is season 5, and this is our, you know, last one here for this. One of the questions is on the how the season held up. Would you show your children this show? Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up is I don't have kids, and I have no plan. Karen and I don't have plans to have children right now. I'm 37. I'll be 38 in February. And, yeah, she's a few years older than me. It's one of those things where there are certain episodes I would show my kids if I was having kids. Would I let them watch this entire series from beginning to end? Not necessarily binge it, but, like, each, like, basically take them, okay, three, you know, after your homework's done after school, you can watch two episodes of it. Like, no, probably not. But, like, to show them lessons of humanity and things like that and working together. Like, yeah, I could see showing several episodes of this to children. Because kids today need to learn proper, you know, way to deal with stuff. But in general, no, I would not show X-Men the Animated Series to kids. What about you?
I would say yeah. Yeah, I mean, okay, I'm not going to show it to a four-year-old.
Obviously.
But, yeah, if we're talking, like, you know, if we're talking preteen, yeah, you know, I would show it to them. If anything, what I'd do is I'd get them into the comics first, then I would show them the cartoon and just be like, okay, you know, which, you know, here's an adaptation.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would. I mean, I would show it to my kids. Hell, anything that is on any, like, cartoon that is in my collection, whether it's on my DVD shelf or, you know, I have it, like, electronically, like, on my phone or whatever, I would show it to them. I would show it to them, and I'd be like, hey, and even if they're, like, you know, even if it's something that just uses, you know, it's very anachronistic, I'd just be like, oh, no, but look at this. You know, I would definitely be showing. You know, I would not show it to them. And yeah, they could watch it from beginning to end. Maybe in a couple of places, we'd hop, skip, and jump. You know, just be like, okay, we got to skip over here right now. But yeah, I would. I definitely would. Heck, I'd show them X-Men before I get to fucking United They Stand. Oh, God.
You do know that Eric and Julia worked on that, right?
I know they worked on it.
We're sorry, Eric and Julia. We're sorry.
Eric, I'm sorry. Like, Eric, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. You know, I love X-Men the Animated Series. I really do. I'm sorry. I can't get into United They Stand. I just can't. I'm so sorry. I really am. It's not you. It's definitely not you. It's not you. I don't know what happened. I couldn't. I'm just so sorry.
Yeah.
Seriously, this is not, you know, this is, may have to actually do a one-on-one with them about that. You know, do a one-on-one, find out what happened there. Like, what was the deal? What was the... What?
That's funny.
Yeah, I would... That is something I would want to...
Yep. Alright, so folks, this is... it's kind of funny that Have Yourself a Merry Morlock Christmas is in here. Because this is the Christmas episode for Tooncast Beyond this year. This will air December 20th, 2017. This will be the last episode of the year for Tooncast. We will come back in 2018 with the final episode of Tooncast Beyond, which is episode 82, Back to the Future, the Animated Series. Optimus Solo will be joining me for that. And after that, next summer, relaunch back to Tooncast Classic with episode 230. Where we kick off the Disney afternoon. We're going to take a quick break, come back to close the show after this.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes toys can be so flighty.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure, Brian, but... How are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com and be prepared to feel like a kid again. Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spots sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Say, Jarvis, is it that time?
The house party protocol, sir?
Correct.
The Pullbag is the GCRN's comic book review and discussion-based podcast. Join your hosts, DFU and Mike, and the rest of the GCRN crew as we make our way through the comic book world. Inside the Pullbag, you'll also find back-issue classics, Origins episodes, After Darks, and so much more. You can find the Pullbag every Wednesday in iTunes, on Stitcher Smart Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and of course, GeekCastRadio.com. Make your great escape into comics and jump into the Pullbag today!
Decian, the superhero webcomic. Decian's got superhero antics and sexy girls. For action, drama, mayhem, and more, read it now at Decian.com. DASIEN.com. And for the new Decian podcast, go to patreon.com/Decian.
We are back, and it is time for last words, final memories, and all that other stuff for X-Men the Animated Series, because we are done with X-Men for now. Might be interesting to take a look at Wolverine and the X-Men, the Steve Bloom voiced Wolverine series.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
Oh yeah, no, might
at some point. Who knows? Any final thoughts? Anything you want to say before we get out of here?
Nope. Just this is one of those. I mean, if I have to choose like a top 10, top 5 like animated series that just really had an influence on me, this would be in there.
Absolutely. Like,
definitely. Most definitely. And just, and it was, I mean, hell, I still remember just being, kind of being a kid and, you know, seeing this and just being like, oh, this is like my books come to life. This is, I just feel, oh.
Yep, absolutely. This, you know, this for me, as I said when we did season one last year and when we did the others this year, this for me made me want to read X-Men comics in the 90s. I see this as the definitive version of the X-Men in animation. It's just so fun, so awesome, just absolutely love it. So that's going to do it for us. You want to talk about your Let's Be Reals podcast really quick?
Well, yeah, Let's Be Reals. Well, it's Let's Be Reals is a Facebook page where we just talk, you know, all about like all types of fandom, gaming, cartoons, comics, things like that. Keep it at Reals is the
That's what it is.
Yeah, it's not. It's actually a live radio show that is usually it's on 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, every Saturday. Sometimes we do take breaks because, vacation comes around, and, you know, things like, for example, you know, as we record this, Thanksgiving is around the corner. So, you know, we do want to like celebrate with family. We don't want to be like in the middle of the weekend after Thanksgiving and like, oh, excuse us, Grandpa, we got to go talk about, you know, Thor Ragnarok. Yeah. You know, it's we do want to take breaks. The episodes, however, are, if you go to Blog Talk Radio, the episodes are like saved, and so you can listen to the old ones. We go all across. You know, we do all across. I mean, we did. I mentioned Larry Houston. Got a chance to talk to him and Buzz Dixon when I talked about G.I. Joe the movie. So, you know, got to hear some great stuff. And, you know, it's not as much of a guest thing, but we do talk about a variety of topics, and sometimes we do have people on who might not be, you know, it's not like having Eric Lewald on or, you know, Larry Houston or one of the actors or writers from Doctor Who. But we'll do have like another fan on to kind of bring their voice in, and it's a call-in. It's a call-in radio show.
Cool.
So, you know, you can actually, when it airs, you can actually call in and say, you know, and bring your voice to the discussion. In fact, right. I even encourage it. If anything, just go to Facebook / Let's Be Reals and just like the page and keep an eye out. I myself, you know, this is something I create. I usually do little teasers that I post on Facebook to kind of promote the episode, you know, and I do that at least 3 times a week, so mm-hmm. you'll know when something's coming.
Very cool. Awesome.
Yep.
So that's going to do it for us. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. I will say as well, folks, if you're listening to the TuneCast Beyond feed, please make sure you're still listening to the TuneCast Classic feed on iTunes. So we're going back to the old feed. Follow us on Twitter. You can follow at TuneCast Beyond or at GCR and TuneCast. Those are both show Twitters for the show. I am at TFG and Mike. You can follow at GeekCast Radio for all your network updates. What is your Twitter?
My Twitter, once again, White Balloon King, but it's spelled WHDBLLNKING. If anything, or just put Eduardo M. Fryer, and you could probably find it.
Awesome.
Aye.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcast or radio network. We hope you enjoyed this episode of TuneCast Beyond, and wish you'll join us next time when we will be, we're going to go back, folks, because next Saturday night, we're sending all of you back to the future with the animated series with Optimus Solo's return to TuneCast. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Eduardo M. Fryer.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Back to the future. Your favorite characters from the enormously successful feature films and the hilarious network cartoon series are on home video for the first time ever.
Duck and Chickawatt!
Price to own. Each cassette features at least 2 entire episodes of exciting animated fun.
Strike him out, Cotton!
Plus, there's a live-action segment with Christopher Lloyd.
Doc Brown here. As you can see, I'm visible once again.
These time-hopping cartoons are filled with adventure.
Hope you aren't too bored, Arnie.
So fire up the DeLorean. Hold on to your flux capacitors and join Marty McFly, Doc Brown, and all their friends in the exciting animated series that has won the hearts of millions. Back to the Future. It's here today and available on video cassette. Collect the entire series.